Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God has said that Satan the devil has deceived the whole world. My question to you is, have you been deceived by Satan the devil? If you do not see the value in observing God's 7 annual holy days, then you, my friend, have been deceived. That's right, I don't want to offend you. I want to tell you the truth and open up your mind to the fact that Satan the devil has deceived you if you do not see the value in observing God's 7 annual holy days. And observing God's 7 annual holy days is not about legalism. Some people will say that it's about legalism, that if you observe these days, you must be a legalist and you're trying to earn your salvation, but that's ridiculous. God's holy days, his 7 annual holy days, actually reveal his 7-step plan of salvation. How far from the truth it is for someone to say that by observing God's holy days, that you are about legalism. No, my friends, if you understand the value of God's holy days, you can see that it's all about salvation. It's teaching us the depth of God's plan of salvation for all of the world. And eventually, God will enlighten the whole world about his truth. But of course, Satan the devil is the god of this world. Right now, most people are deceived by Satan the devil. Another deception of Satan the devil is that these holy days were given to the Jewish nation, that God just meant it for the Jewish nation. Well, again, that's a bunch of hogwash, my friends. God gave these holy days as a gift to all mankind because God wants to save all mankind. Another deception. People believe that the holy days were only supposed to be kept during the Old Testament time, and that God's New Testament people did not keep the holy days. But I'm going to prove to you that that's also a lie straight out of Satan's mouth. God did intend for his New Testament church, his spiritual nation of Israel, to also keep these holy days. And in fact, these holy days will be kept by all mankind after Christ's second coming. And I'm going to prove all of those points in subsequent programs, but for today's program, I want to just simply give you an overview of all of God's holy days. So first of all, we can say that there are 3 time periods in the plan of salvation for the world. There are 3 time periods. The first time period is the past, then there's the present, and then there's the future. So the feasts commemorate the past accomplishments of God. The feasts also should motivate Christians to live in the present by the power of God. And then third, the feasts anticipate the future redemptive acts of God. So now let's apply the specific holy days to each of these 3 time periods. For the past, the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread commemorate the past accomplishments of God. The Passover pictures Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, dying for the sins of the world. And then the Days of Unleavened Bread pictured Jesus Christ's perfect obedience to God's law, so he was the only person that had righteousness by the law. So because Jesus Christ is living in us, we have righteousness imputed to us. There is no way in the world, my friends, that we can ever have righteousness ourselves by keeping the law. That is impossible, and God never intended that. What God did intend is that we live in the present by the power of God. We are to take on God's divine nature. We are to die to ourselves. And so the Feast of Pentecost pictures this present power of God. After all, wasn't it on the Feast of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit, which is called the power of God, came down from on high and rested on the apostles and rested on all of the other people? And there's approximately 120 people that were gathered for the Feast of Pentecost. So what God is doing in the present is he is showing that he can call a people out of the world and live in them through the power of the Holy Spirit to transform them into his children. And this is a witness to the world that if you follow God by faith, then you can please God. But again, most of the world is deceived. And this is where the future redemptive acts of God come in. And so the future redemptive acts of God are pictured by the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. Of course, in the Feast of Trumpets, that pictures Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, coming back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule over this earth, and he's going to rule over the earth with his resurrected saints. Then we have the Day of Atonement, which pictures Jesus Christ binding Satan, putting him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ over the earth, along with the resurrected saints who have become kings and priests. And then we have the Last Great Day, which comes after the 1,000 years, and that will be the time when most of the people who have ever lived in the world will have their first chance at salvation. So those are the three time periods in God's plan of salvation. But there's also three stages in God's plan of salvation. Again, right now, God is only calling a small group of people. They are called the first fruits, or his church. God is not trying to call the entire world. Many are called, but few are chosen. God is only choosing a few people right now, and they are called the first fruits. But there are three stages, and this first stage is the stage when he's working with the first fruits, a small group of people. But in the future, we're going to see that God is going to work with a large group of people. That's stage three. So, the feasts show, and this is stage one, the feasts show God building his church. That's the first fruits, the small group of people. Stage two shows God destroying the works of humanity and Satan. That's when Jesus Christ comes back. And stage three shows God converting the world. This is at the beginning of the millennium and on through the last great day. So for stage one, we see that the Passover, the Days of Unleavened Bread, and Pentecost are included. Passover shows God granting forgiveness of sins, and this is for everyone, but right now, only those who accept this gift by faith receive forgiveness of sins. And the only ones accepting this gift by faith are the ones to whom faith is given, and that is the church. Again, many are called, but few are chosen. Only a few are chosen to receive this gift of faith right now, to be able to receive the forgiveness of sins. The Days of Unleavened Bread, this pictures God granting righteousness to the entire world, but the only people accepting that gift of righteousness is, again, those who accept Jesus Christ by faith. And that's the church, a small group called the first fruits. And in fact, Pentecost is also called first fruits. And this pictures God granting eternal life to the church. And then we go on to stage two, which would be the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. This shows in trumpets Christ destroying human governments. And then Day of Atonement pictures Christ destroying Satan's influence over governments because he binds Satan. And then stage three would be wrapped up in the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also called the Feast of Ingathering, because this is when God begins for the first time to gather in all of the people who have never been called, who have never been chosen. And so this demonstrates or illustrates Christ and the church, because the resurrected saints will be ruling with Christ. So it represents Christ and the church building God's government for the second fruits. The second fruits being everyone that's not a part of the first fruits. And then the last great day shows Christ and the church teaching God's government to the majority of people who have never ever had a chance to learn about the kingdom of God. And then finally, my friends, there are also three aspects of salvation. Three aspects of salvation. The first aspect is justification. The second aspect is sanctification. And the third aspect is glorification. Again, this is all about grace. It is not about legalism. Don't, please, my friends, don't let your pastor, your friends, whoever deceive you in terms of observing God's holy days. They have rich and significant meaning on God's plan of salvation. It is all about grace. So here we go. Justification, the first aspect of salvation. Justification, that is illustrated by the Passover, because we have forgiveness of sins. And this teaches us that the church is united to God through Yeshua HaMashiach. Then we have sanctification. That's pictured in the days of unleavened bread, because righteousness reigns in the church at this time. We've been set apart for holy use. Because Jesus Christ is living in us, we are righteous. So righteousness reigns in the church. Then the third aspect of salvation is glorification. That's illustrated by Pentecost, or again, the Feast of First Fruits, because this is the period of time when the church is growing toward perfection. God implores us to be perfect and to be holy, even as He is perfect and holy. So we are to grow to perfection, not by our own works. This is by the power of God living in us. And then it's going to culminate in the resurrection of the church to eternal life. That's the glory that we will receive. So that's glorification. And you know what? Again, as we already talked about in the three stages of God's plan of salvation, this justification, sanctification, and glorification, as revealed by Passover, unleavened bread, and Pentecost, that's all for the first fruits, for the church. But this same process is repeated again for the world. So we have the same three aspects of salvation given to the world, but this is in the third stage. So in the second stage, which we mentioned earlier, this is the pivotal point. And this is illustrated by the Feast of Trumpets. This is when Christ returns to the earth to take over the world. He casts out Satan, and he puts down all rule and rebellion, and he establishes the kingdom of God. So this is the pivotal point when Satan the devil will no longer be the god of this world. Jesus Christ will become the god of this world. He will take over rulership. And then this process of justification, sanctification, and glorification will occur again. So justification is illustrated in the Day of Atonement. That's when there is forgiveness of sins, but this is for the world, for all of the people that have not been called in God's first stage. So this shows the world united to God through Jesus Christ. Passover pictured the church united to God through Jesus Christ. Atonement pictures the world united to God through Jesus Christ. Then you have sanctification. That's illustrated in the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering. This is when righteousness will reign in the world. Remember, we said that sanctification, which was illustrated through the days of unleavened bread, pictured righteousness reigning in the church. Well, here we have sanctification illustrated through the Feast of Tabernacles, and that teaches us about righteousness reigning in the world. And then we have the third aspect of salvation, which is glorification, and this is illustrated by the last great day. This is the time when the world will be growing to perfection, and ultimately it's going to result in the resurrection of the world to eternal life. That's the glory that the world will receive. And we talked about glorification as illustrated through the Feast of Pentecost being for the church, when the church had an opportunity to grow to perfection, and ultimately resulting in the resurrection of the church to eternal life. Well, here glorification is illustrated in the last great day, and that shows the world growing to perfection, and ultimately it results in the resurrection of the world to eternal life. So that's the overview of God's holy days, and it is so rich in its meaning about God's plan of salvation.